hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The Major League Baseball playoffs continue later. They continue later Wednesday with games in Toronto, Canada, and Los Angeles, California. In Canada, the Toronto Blue Jays will host the Cleveland Indians in Game 5 of the American League Championship Series. It's must win for the Blue Jays, who trail the best of seven series 3-1. In Game 4 Tuesday, the Blue Jays avoided elimination with a 5-1 victory at their Rogers Center Stadium in Toronto. After scoring only 3 runs in the first 3 games of the series, the Blue Jays broke through to extend the series. Josh Donaldson's homer off Corey Kluber in the 3rd inning gave Toronto its first lead, and Dominican slugger Edwin Encarnacion created some breathing room by knocking in 2 runs with a single in the 7th inning. For our VOA baseball fans keeping score, Encarnacion tied with the now-retired David Ortiz of the Boston Red Sox for the most RBIs in the American League during the regular season, 127. Getting back to Game 4, Toronto pitcher Aaron Sanchez picked up the win by allowing just 2 hits over 6 strong innings to give his team a chance. Once again, the Blue Jays will host Game 5 later Wednesday in Toronto. It's must win as they trail the Cleveland Indians 3-1. Toronto won back-to-back World Series titles in 1992 and 1993. Cleveland, meanwhile, is hoping to win its first World Series title since 1948. But first, the Indians have to get past those Toronto Blue Jays. In the National League, the Los Angeles Dodgers will host the Chicago Cubs in Game 4 of their best-of-seven series. The Dodgers lead 2-1 after winning Game 3 on Tuesday, 6-0 in Los Angeles. Yasmani Grandal and Justin Turner each hit home runs, and Dodgers left-handed pitcher Rich Hill allowed 2 hits and struck out 6 over 6 scoreless innings. Now, the Cubs had the best record in Major League Baseball during the regular season. They won 103 games, the most for the club since 1910. And we have to go back even farther to 1908 to find the last time the Chicago Cubs won a World Series title. The Dodgers, meanwhile, have a prouder World Series pedigree. They have 6 World Series trophies. Their last one was in 1988. The Major League Baseball playoffs heating up here in the United States and in neighboring Canada.
I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side.
Side of life.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you later Wednesday night at 18:30 GMT UTC with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. Now let's go to London, where Britain's 2016 Olympic and Paralympic athletes have received a hero's welcome. Thousands of people gathered in Trafalgar Square to cheer the athletes. Among those on hand was London's mayor, Sadiq Khan.
These Olympians and Paralympians have smashed those records, and so I think it's right, a parade in Manchester, celebrations in London, because you know what? Sports is a team effort.
These Olympic and Paralympic fans saluted that team effort.
Oh, it's fantastic. I've done some work with the hockey girls and volunteering for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Can't believe that they got gold. So exciting.
I think it's fabulous. They've done a wonderful thing for our country.
Britain finished second overall in the medals table at both the Olympics and Paralympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. At the Olympics, British athletes won a total of 67 medals. And at the Paralympics, Britain won 147 medals. After the ceremony in Trafalgar Square, the Olympians and Paralympians went to Buckingham Palace, where they attended a special reception hosted by Queen Elizabeth. British sprinter Desiree Henry won a bronze medal at the Rio Olympics in the women's 4x100-meter team relay event. Desiree, what was it like to meet the Queen?
Oh, it's just an absolute dream, you know, to meet the Queen. As I'm sure is an amazing opportunity for all of us, but it's just great that we're able to come here because of sport.
From London, let's go to Paris, where organizers of the Tour de France have unveiled an unconventional route for cycling's premier event in 2017. It features many early climbs in a bid to limit the opportunities for strong teams to dominate stages, and it also rewards aggressive riders looking to shake up the sport's greatest spectacle. Nairobi-born rider Chris Froome has become one of cycling's biggest stars since his early days in Kenya. Chris moved to South Africa as a teenager and turned professional in 2007 at the age of 22 when he joined the South African team Konica Minolta. Chris Froome now represents Britain in international competition, and he rides for the British squad Team Sky. Froome will be bidding for his third consecutive Tour de France title and his fourth overall. Hey, Chris, can you look at the 2017 route for us?
The 2017 Tour de France route certainly opens the door to be a very aggressive Tour de France with such few time trial kilometers, only 23 kilometers plus a prologue. It's going to be a race that's won or lost in the mountains, and only three summit finishes, so not that many opportunities for guys to really lay it down in that sense, but I think that will open the race up tactically in other parts of the race.
In Paris, Chris Froome also addressed doping controversies in cycling. He says his Team Sky does not need to join the Movement for Credible Cycling, or MPCC, which applies stricter rules than the International Cycling Union and the World Anti-Doping Agency.
Quite frankly, no. As it currently stands, only a third of the professional peloton are members of the MPCC, and I don't think Team Sky joining will necessarily help the problems facing our sport at the moment. I think they're much wider problems that need to be addressed by the UCI, the governing body of our sport, and rules should be applied to everyone, not just a select group of people. And as we've seen with the NPCC, when people within the NPCC break their own rules, they just pack up and leave with no repercussions. So I don't believe that's the solution.
That's three-time Tour de France cycling champion Chris Froome. And Chris was speaking in Paris. The 2017 Tour de France will begin July 1st in Dusseldorf, Germany, and it'll go through five countries before ending in Paris on July 23rd. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Kick it, Bill!
Kick it!
In pro boxing, October 30th marks the 42nd anniversary of the Rumble in the Jungle, the epic clash in Kinshasa between Muhammad Ali and then world heavyweight champion George Foreman. Ali knocked out Foreman in the eighth round to score one of his greatest victories. This year's anniversary promises to be bittersweet. Following the death of Muhammad Ali on June 3rd at the age of 74. The year after the Rumble in the Jungle in 1975, the late American soul singer Don Covey released his tribute to the bodacious bout in the former Zaire, and you guessed it, Don titled it Rumble in the Jungle. Let's give it a listen.
Motherland, yeah. Ali and Foreman, yeah. And I showed down to see who would wear, oh yeah, the heavyweight crown, yeah. Heavy's court was filled with hope till he chased Ali into the road. Yeah.
machine, yeah. First he led with a lick, and then he do a right.
Indeedy, of a muscular punch that's incredibly speedy. The fistic world was dull and weary. With a champ like Liston, things had to be dreary. Then someone with color, someone with dash, brought fight fans a-running with cash.
Show me the money.
This brash young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight championship is his destiny. This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you sign to fight him, increase your insurance. I am the greatest.
I am the greatest. That's the late heavyweight champion Muhammad Ali, who died on June 3rd at the age of 74. October 30th marks the 42nd anniversary of the Rumble in the Jungle, Muhammad Ali's epic encounter in Kinshasa with George Foreman. And let me say hello to all my Facebook Live friends. Welcome back to Studio 22, the very well-lit Studio 22. Good to have you back. And I'm pleased to introduce Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm good, Sonny. Good to be here with you. And it's sunny, you could say, the studio is. It's Nick Ivanoff gave me, our control man over there gave us it's the sunny side here, absolutely. So it is very sunny here in the studio today with you.
Well, Andrew, I began the show talking about the Major League Baseball playoffs. Are they trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
They are indeed, and one person in particular, Trevor Bauer, and he's a pitcher for the Cleveland Indians. And the other day, you know, in his off time, was playing around with a drone that he has. Of course, you know, got the propellers on it, can be very sharp, and he was doing some maintenance and cut his finger. Now, this is terrible news for a pitcher. A pitcher works with the hands to cut a finger. They stitched him up. He said, nope, I'm going to start game three. I'm going to pitch. Well, he got 21 pitches into game three. And then you just start to see the drip of that pinky finger where the stitches came undone after 21 pitches, and it started to just drip, drip, drip blood. So they pulled him out of the game, and the Cleveland Indians were able to win the game with all their relief pitchers. But social media, the reactions to this were from being grossed out to being amazed that he was able to go out there and pitch for as long as he did for 21 pitches with his finger that was all cut up, to amazement that he was even allowed to pitch, and questions about some of the coaching decisions they let him go out there with an injured finger. And then, of course, with social media, we have all the close-ups of the finger. So really gross, you know, bloody stitches, really not a great thing on social media. In fact, Twitter actually put up a warning on their Moments page of this and said, warning, you will see some graphic content, so you actually get to choose. But you know, a testament out there to be safe if you're playing with a drone, and especially if you use your hands for work, because you could get in trouble like Trevor Bauer did.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Let me get my videographer, Bill Workinger, to bring that camera phone around and take a look at this photo at my Facebook page. It's of Algerian winger Riyad Mahrez of Leicester City. He had a very sweet goal on Tuesday to lift Leicester City to a 1-0 victory over Copenhagen in a UEFA Champions League match. Leicester City, they've won all three matches in the UEFA Champions League so far, so they're at the top of the table with 9 points. And so we'll give a quick shout out to Riyad Mahrez of Algeria. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we talked about last week how the National Football League has a new policy where they won't allow teams to put up on social media any video or GIFs or anything like that that isn't from the National Football League. And a lot of teams are using social media to fight back on this. And one of them that did a really great job of this that got a lot of social media attention was the Cleveland Browns. They tweeted out a GIF of the electric kind of football field. I don't know if you've ever seen this game. I know you have, Sonny. I don't know if our listeners have, but it's kind of these little figurines, and they sit on this kind of metal field, and the field vibrates, and the players look like they're kind of running along.
Okay.
And they run along all haphazardly, the little, you know, metal football. So they used this with the metal football field and the vibrating players to show a touchdown, since they couldn't actually show the game footage. So a lot of fans thought that was a really creative way that Cleveland kind of fought back against the NFL and kind of stuck it to the NFL. Another team that did it was the Philadelphia Eagles. They used little football figurines, and then to show an interception, they had a paper little football cutout on a popsicle stick, and they just carried it over to show the interception. So teams are not happy about this, and they're trying to make light of it and show how silly it is on social media. And fans are noticing on social media and really praising the teams for, like I said, sticking it to the NFL, what many think is a silly rule.
Quick shout out for one of our Facebook friends, Dan Malik. He checks in from, I don't know quite know where Dan is writing from, but he's watching the video this evening, and his one word is top. It's the top. Thank you, Dan. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, the other word, as I'm looking at these stories, I think is Cleveland. That's the theme today. Cleveland rocks, because we had Trevor Bauer of the Cleveland Indians. We were talking about the Cleveland Browns on social media, and now J.R. Smith of the Cleveland Cavaliers is having perhaps the best week ever on social media for him. First of all, he was at that Cleveland Indians baseball game with his Cleveland teammates, so they were watching the game, and they got a lot of social media attention for that, hoping to bring another championship to Cleveland, the city of Cleveland. And then this week he announced that he's re-signing with the Cleveland Cavaliers in a new deal, posted a video to social media to tell fans about that, and then a nice surprise at the end of the video. He said, oh, and by the way, my wife and I are having another baby. So he's got a new deal, and he's got a new child on the way. So he's having a really good week. And then after all that, you know, you think you take a break from social media, say, you know, I can't do better than this. He even got even more fans on social media and more attention because he threw his one-year-old bulldog a birthday party.
Oh, my.
And so these pictures he posted on social media of this birthday party for his dog got a lot of attention from folks. People tweeting out and saying, you know, my family didn't even get me a gift, didn't even call me, and J.R. Smith's dog gets a whole party. Like, that's not fair. It is a bulldog, so it looks kind of sad. So people said that too. They're saying, oh, it's his party, should be happy, and didn't look so. And then a lot of fans tweeting pictures of their own dogs dressed up and saying, how come we didn't get an invitation in the mail? It's it was lost in the mail, I guess. So J.R. Smith is having a great week on social media, showing how a lot of these athletes can have a lot of fun on social media, using it for their career, using it also to give an insight into their family and their personal lives. So he's having perhaps the best week ever, or the best week this week anyway, on social media.
I did read one tweet, Andrew, from one of Cleveland's biggest sports stars, LeBron James, and he's been going to those Indians games, mm-hmm. and he says, go Indians!
The whole team
They've got another chance
there.
To make it to the World Series later.
Yeah, they're
Wednesday.
Up 3-1. They could, I think, close it out this evening. They play later today, so we'll see. I have no doubt. They may have to get the whole Cleveland Cavaliers team to throw out the first pitch if they just line all of them up and just get all of them to throw it out. Maybe they're the good luck charm for the city of Cleveland. They broke that long streak of not having any championships, and now they could have two at the same time in two different sports. So we'll see if that works out.
Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew. And you'll be hosting the show on Thursday.
I will indeed. Trying to fill your shoes as best I can.
Thanks, Andrew. And that wraps up the October 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my videographer / producer, Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for viewing in and tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. Speaking at a Nigerian-American Chamber of Commerce conference on small and medium-sized enterprises, or SME, financing and franchising in Abuja, Nigeria, on October 5th, U.S. Chargé d'Affaires David Young said the United States has provided more than $500 million in annual assistance to Nigeria in the areas of health and security, but is also increasingly focused on the issues of economic stability and growth for the country. "We recognize that our shared health and security goals depend on a prosperous economy," he stated. Mr. Young recalled that at the U.S.-Africa Business Forum in New York, President Barack Obama said, "Wherever I've gone, from Senegal to South Africa, Africans insist they don't just want aid, they want trade. They want partners, not patrons. They want to do business and grow business, and the United States is determined to be that partner for the long term." Mr. Young highlighted the United States' support for Africa's economic prosperity under President Obama, including renewal of the 10-year extension by Congress of the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA, in 2015 for a decade. Other important steps taken by the United States: launching Trade Africa and Power Africa, creating the Doing Business in Africa campaign, and increasing commitments from the U.S. Export-Import Bank, Overseas Private Investment Corporation, and the Millennium Challenge Corporation. The 2016 Nigerian-American SME Financial and Franchising Conference is a bilateral trade and investment advancement initiative organized in collaboration with the Economic Section of the United States Embassy in Nigeria. "The United States is proud to work with its partner, Nigeria, to promote a vibrant economy for the benefit of all Nigerians, the region, and the world."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll look at the role of the Washington, D.C. Mayor's Office of African Affairs. We'll discuss the impact of the office as it seeks to improve the quality of life for the District of Columbia's diverse African-born population. That's next, right here on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical jam. I guarantee.
Do you know the political process that determines who the next president of the United States will be? Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the campaigns, the voting, and the final tallying to find out how citizens choose their next president. Right here on VOA.